Welcome to the Christ Life Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Olubi Johnson. For more information about this podcast and our other resources, please visit spcconline.org. God bless you.
How should I?
You're still the same,
no Lord.
By the power of your name,
how should I
encounter Adonai? We now praise and lift you high. How should I?
We now praise and lift you high.
We now praise and lift you high.
El Shaddai.
El Shaddai. We now praise and lift you high.
We now praise and lift you high.
El Shaddai. Father, we worship you. Who is like? Faithful to 1,000 generations. From the time of Adam in the Garden of Eden, through the times of Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Joshua, Moses, David, you haven't changed. Still the same. We love you. We honor you. We revere you. We stand in awe of you. For you're making it clearer and clearer to us who you truly are. And the more we see, the more we marvel. The more we see, the more we are in awe. We enter your word now. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand, asking for fresh unction and anointing upon my heart and my lips, that indeed I will speak as I should, as an oracle of God. And I pray you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present here and those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great and sufficient measure to back these words. Follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful. Yes, Father, that I may deliver this word with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all's in agreement, receiving every blessing mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all agreed individually and said. Today's message is entitled, God's Kingdom and Righteousness. These are truths we are familiar with, but God brings greater depth of revelation and understanding concerning them. I would like you turning your Bibles to the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, and I'm going to be reading from verse 33. In actual fact, I will start from verse 31 to keep it in its context. Why Jesus said what he said and our understanding of it will help us to apply it functionally in our lives. I think one of the greatest problems we have in the church today is a lot of knowledge, but that is not acted upon. We have a lot of head knowledge. E.W. Kenyon said in one of his books, he said that many times, you know, we are using high-sounding spiritual expressions that have no inner meaning in our hearts. We're playing a game of bluff, each one telling the other to do what he does not do himself. I smiled there right after. I said, how true. Everybody talks, but how many people do? Now, my wife and I were reminiscing, to the glory of God, on the three-year anniversary of Good Morning Jesus. When we started, it looked as if, wow, will people be able to sustain this? Talk is one thing. Doing is another. Doing is a completely different ball game. And that's why the Bible tells in the book of James, he said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. He said, because if a man is a hearer, not a doer, he said, he deceives himself. And he forgets the kind of man he is. He said, but if a person goes and he's a doer of the work, it takes work to do God's word. Work. But it's not the work of the flesh, the work of the spirit. But it's still work. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes sacrifice. Those of you who, by the grace and the mercy of God, have been following us in this Good Morning Jesus venture, you know, in these past 3 years, you know what I'm talking about. It's not the easiest thing to get up at 3:30 in the morning. Every day. You know, before, the way people used to do it is that they'll do it once, and they may not do it for another week. Then they'll do it again, and then they may do it 2-3 days later. You know, that's how it's been, up and down. But to be consistent, it takes the grace of God. That is why it takes grace to do what God says. No man can do God's word by his strength. It's mercy and grace. So the Lord Jesus tells us, he says, I'm going to read from verse 31. Therefore, take no thought. That's what the old King James says. Some of the other modern translations, you know, the Amplified says, therefore, do not worry or be anxious. That's the context in which I'm going to be talking. You know, the New International Version says, so do not worry. I think worry is one of the biggest sins in the church. You know why? Everybody worries. And we don't see it as, you know, if somebody went to drink alcohol, it's, oh, he's a sinner. You know, or if somebody, God forbid, went to fornicate or commit adultery, but oh, that's a terrible sin, you know. And they are. Don't misunderstand me. But you know, worry is terrible. It's a terrible sin. And the reason why they worry is what I'm about to teach and preach to you. Because they don't understand God's kingdom and his righteousness. That's why we worry. People worry about everything. Worry about, particularly in this day of COVID-19, worrying about the economy, worrying about money, worrying about clothes, worrying about the third Delta variant of the COVID-19. I just read in the watch it on the news. You know, there's a new there's another wave, a third, not second, third. You know, of this Delta variant. In Australia, in Sydney, they've just gone into another lockdown. Even though there have been vaccinations and everything, but there's worry. And the only antidote to overcome worry in these end times, in these perilous times, is to understand, and by the grace and the mercy of God, the Holy Spirit is going to help me to break it down for you, God's righteousness. Not your own righteousness. That's the problem. God's kingdom and his righteousness. It's not your own righteousness. It's God's righteousness. I'm going to explain it to you as the Holy Spirit helps me. Say, therefore, don't worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? These are legitimate human needs, food,
and raiment. After all these things, and this is a great statement, you see, God is not impractical. God is not, you know, utopic. You know, he doesn't just talk. He said, for all these things do the Gentiles or the nations seek. This is what men seek. Watch this. For your heavenly Father, I didn't hear you, knoweth that you have need of all these things. God is aware. He knows you need food. He knows you need drink. He knows you need clothing. He knows you need protection against COVID. He knows, you know, you need protection against armed banditry, kidnapping, and all the things that can cause worry in this day and hour in which we're living in. It's as if, Pastor G, Mommy, the world has gone crazy. Everything's gone upside down. Everything we, you know, things we took for granted barely a year ago, you can't take it for granted now. The other day I wanted to go somewhere, you know, my security were telling me, daddy, you're going to be daddy, your pastor, you know, please take extra people. You know, that road now, all kinds of funny things happen. I said, don't worry, I'll be fine. I prayed and, you know, I went and I came back. Everything was fine. But people worry. Legitimately so. Because they've, you know, you hear of this, you hear of that, you hear of that. The Bible says, you know, evil tidings. It's abounding in the day in which we're living in. But God has an answer. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has an answer. And God will give you, turn to your neighbor and say, God will give you an answer of peace. Now I'm going to tell you the answer. The Father knows you have need of all these things, but Jesus is telling you the answer to the worry problem. Turn to your neighbor and say, worry is a sin. It's as much a sin as drunkenness. Pastor Boy guy's laughing. He was looking at Mommy. How many people here will go home after this service and go and take a bottle of beer or a bottle of whiskey or some other alcoholic drink and start just drinking it? Nobody's going to do that, because you know it's going to get you intoxicated and all of that. Well, worry will intoxicate you. It will mess your mind up. As surely as whiskey or alcohol will. And the thing about worry is that it's much more subtle. You know, sometimes people's minds are, you know, entrapped with worry. Just like when a person is drunk and he can't see clearly, he can't think straight. People can't think straight when they're worrying. Oh, I didn't hear amen. If you can't say amen, say oh me. It's true. It's a disease of the mind. But this is the great but. God always has, don't your neighbor say, God always has a but for anything the devil does. But seek ye secondly. See why you worry? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his. This is very important. Everybody say, his righteousness, not yours. See, a lot of our righteousness is ours. I'm going to explain in a minute. And all these things, what things? Turn to your neighbor and say, what things? What you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear will be added unto you. In Nigeria, we say it's jara. Observe. Great truth here. He didn't say you should pray about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. Now, there's a place to pray for prosperity. Don't misunderstand me. But here, Jesus is telling you that if you will seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, without praying about them, what you will eat, what you will drink, and what you will wear will be added unto you. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. It'll be added without asking for it. Now, there's a place for asking, praying for prosperity, where you sow seed, you pray for the wisdom of God to prosper you. There's a place for that. But this desperate prayer of what you're going to eat and drink, Jesus said it would be totally unnecessary if you are enforcing, and I use that word deliberately, God's kingdom and his righteousness, if you are walking in it. So let's get down to it, the nitty-gritty. Let's first of all talk about God's kingdom. The word kingdom, and we looked at this last time when I talked about the seven keys of the kingdom, and I explained it, you know, it means the dominion of the king, and God is the king. So let's keep it simple. God's kingdom is the dominion of God. Is when God's dominion is a region, a place, a life, a body, a family, where God's dominion is enforced. Where God is dominating. That's what the word kingdom means. It doesn't mean going to heaven alone. Of course, the kingdom of God is also in heaven. But he's talking about what's the things that are going on earth. Just talking about things, like what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, you know. He said these are things that the Gentiles, he's talking about the earth. He's not talking about heaven. He's talking about enforcing the dominion of God here on earth. The Lord's Prayer. We mentioned this last week. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Too many Christians, when they think of the kingdom of God, they're always thinking about heaven. Yes, the kingdom of God is in heaven, but that's not the point. The point here is that we want it here on earth. Now, the kingdom of God is the dominion of God. Where God's dominion is, it would dominate sickness. It would dominate sin. It will dominate poverty. It will dominate ignorance. It will dominate foolishness. Where God dominates. Now, we need to understand that the dominion of God is not automatic simply because you're a Christian. We have this impression, you know, that, well, you know, I've been born again, and there are scriptures for it. You know, we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear son. True. That's very true. You know, we have been moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's dear son. However, even though that is true, you have to enforce it. It's not automatic. It will just work in your life because you are in the kingdom of God. Let me be more specific. For instance, I just use this as an example. The Bible says, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. It didn't even say you are healed. It said you were. But we know, you know as well as I do, that even though we're Christians, and by the stripes of Jesus, we're healed, which is a legal, what Jesus bought for us legally on the cross. If you don't enforce it, sickness will still come on your body. And millions of Christians are suffering from sickness as I speak now. Millions are dying, not because of the will of God, but because they do not know how to enforce the dominion of God over sickness. So when we're talking about dominion of God, it's we are being legally moved into the kingdom of God, but we must now vitally, experientially enforce it in our lives so that we can enjoy the benefits thereof. It is not automatic. Yes, you will go to heaven when you die. But God doesn't want you to die prematurely and go to heaven when you did not enjoy his kingdom when you were on earth. I don't know if you can say amen. So, let's talk a little bit more about the kingdom. I'm going to talk a little bit and then I'll go to his righteousness. Paul gives us a revelation of what the kingdom is. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17. And you know what he says? Paul says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. He says, but righteousness, I'm going to come back to righteousness in a minute, peace and joy, then he puts it, this is a very important aspect, in the Holy Ghost. Let me expatiate on that. It means that the dominion of God is the dominion of righteousness, which is right doing and right standing. I'm going to come back to that. The dominion of peace. The dominion of joy. So if you are in a place of depression, you're not enjoying the kingdom. If you are in a place of worry, and turmoil. You know, you're not enjoying the kingdom because the kingdom is dominion of peace. I didn't write that. Paul did. And I echo Paul under the Holy Ghost. What is the kingdom of God? It is the dominion. The dominion. The word dominion comes from the word dominate. Ordinarily, we think of dominating, you know, in a negative sense. But this is positive now. Where you dominate. Righteousness, watch this. Righteousness dominates sin. Peace dominates turmoil. Joy dominates depression. And, you know, that's putting it like that now makes you examine your own life and ask yourself, wow, am I enjoying the kingdom? To what degree in my life, in your life, is righteousness dominating sin? To what degree is peace dominating worry and turmoil? To what degree is joy dominating sadness and depression? There's this horrible thing in the church now. It's working on pastors as well as the flock. Many Christians are depressed. Particularly in the Western, but even here too, you know, they're looking for therapy. Going to psychiatrists to try and, you know, talk them through their problem so that they can have peace of mind. Whereas God gives it to you here free. The dominion of righteousness, peace, and joy. Now, the rhetorical question, and I'm going to answer it, is why? Why is it that we are not enjoying the dominion of righteousness over sin, the dominion of joy, you know, over depression, dominion of peace over turmoil in many of our Christian lives? We're not enjoying that dominion. Why? There's a very simple reason. And this reason is many times obscure. That is hidden from many Christians because many times we don't read our Bible. When I say we don't read it, what I mean is we don't study, meditate, pray, you know, for revelation and pray in tongues. So we don't have a revelation of it. We have the head knowledge, but we don't have a revelation of it. This was what the Lord Jesus himself said. Not Olubi Johnson, the Lord Jesus, but I am echoing him. And you know what he said in Matthew chapter 11 and in verse 12. Excuse me. Yeah, chapter 11 and in verse 12. I'm going to read it first of all from the King James. Then I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. It says, and from the days, I didn't hear you, of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The Amplified Bible, you know, and some of the other translations, I'll just read that, says, and from the days of John the Baptist unto the present time, the kingdom of God has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion. The New International Version says, from the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been subject to violence and violent people have been raiding it. You know, God's word says that the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and forceful people have been seizing it. You now know why we don't have dominion in our lives. Why? Most Christians are not violent spiritually. There's something Kenneth Copeland used to say. He said it jokingly. But I say it sometimes to people, and people get offended sometimes. I say, you know, what do you mean? You know, I say, are you praying? He said, yeah, I'm praying. I said, I'm not talking about your Mickey Mouse prayers. I heard that from Kenneth Copeland. Mickey Mouse. Well, you know, Mickey Mouse is this cartoon, you know, in Walt Disney. Yeah, you know, just that's not serious prayer. You want the kingdom in your life? You have to take it violently by force. You can now understand why we're not seeing the dominion of God in any great measure of righteousness over sin. We're not seeing the dominion of peace over turmoil. We're not seeing the dominion of joy over depression in many Christian lives, because they don't understand how to violently. Spiritual violence, not physical. Spiritual. Paul put it another way. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, rulers of darkness of this world, wicked spirits in the heavenly places. This Mickey Mouse Christianity, or just pray, you know, what I call headache. Okay, I can learn that from Kelly Copeland also. You know, headache prayer. Just, Father, bless me today, you know, and just be with me. In Jesus' name. I can't pray. I ain't going to get anything done. That's not violently taking the kingdom. Violently. You snatch it. You enforce it by the force of spiritual arms through the ministry of angels. That's why God has the Holy Spirit has asked me to preach this message. There are things you've heard before. But there has to be a new emphasis on spiritual violence in the place of prayer and intercession. That's where groanings and tongues comes in. And even after you've prayed with tongues and groanings and all of that, you need to bind the devil. The same Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound on earth is bound in the heavenlies. And whatever you loose on earth will be permitted in the heavens. You are in control. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are in control. We are in control. Give a Lord a clap offering, somebody. If I forbid something on earth by the power of the Holy Ghost, automatically I lock the heavens. And the principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, Satan, they can't do anything. But you know, I need to know who I am. And then I have to be able to have the spiritual force, the spiritual power, you know, what the Bible calls dunamis. See, there are two things. Authority and power. If you're in Christ, you already have authority. But if you have authority and you don't back it with power, Satan will roughshod over your authority. It's like armed robbers. Armed robbers know it is wrong. It is not their legal right to go to somebody's house to go and steal. They know that. The thing does not belong to them. And then you will put policemen, you know, maybe in front of a bank or something. The policeman, by his uniform, he has authority. But if a stronger than he comes upon him, that's what Jesus said. He said, when a strong man armed keeps his, he says his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon and overcomes him, then he takes his goods away from him. That'll not be your portion in Jesus' name. That's why you have to be strong in the spirit. Amen. So, you know, you got three policemen. I'm just giving a hypothetical example. You know, with old guns. You know, Mark Ford as, you know, Shakabula. You know, you fire one, then he goes again and fire. And then you now come with 10 armed robbers who have, you know, AK-47s or Uzis that are firing 100 rounds a minute. Now you want to fire him with, you want to come against him with a gun that's going boom, you're a dead man. Yes, the policemen have authority. I'm using a natural illustration to illustrate the spiritual truth. They even have power. But something has come against them that has greater firepower. And the people that are doing it are outlaws. They don't recognize authority. So they, God forbid, they run shot over the policemen, they kill them, they enter into the bank, they take the money. It's not the will of God. That's what happens spiritually.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe these words have empowered you to live a victorious, transcendent life in Christ. Our mission is to equip God's people for service and build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources, including books, sermons, prophecies, and articles available on our website, spcconline.org. Thank you, and God bless you.